Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a beautiful song there by Tumelo Sheck in the background, and it's called Azange Alale, and it brought us to exactly 27 minutes to 7 right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion on the program in... Thursday Live, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? My goodness, it's Thursday Live. And of course, we're going all the way until 8 o'clock. I need to begin. So it's a beautiful Thursday evening. I hope that all is well with you. And of course, it is the 18th of March. Here we are. We are still alive, and all glory and honor to our Heavenly Father. And as promised, we are now joined by Ntate Elias Shamatla. Ntate Shamatla, good evening and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Good evening, Tate Kotsi, and good evening to the listeners. It's always an honor to be here.
Fantastic. We are honored to have you here, Tate, as always. And yes, let's just hit it running. I know that time is not on our side because of what you have in store for us. But like I said, if you're listening right now, I mean, I know that you're listening right now, but I did mention earlier on that if you'd like to talk to Ntate Shamatla or ask him a question, feel free to send it through to three platforms that we have. The email SMS is 37871. There's the SMS number there, 3871. And WhatsApp number is 082-657-2729. Drop us a short message there. Make it short and to the point. 082-657-2729. And alternatively, yes, you can give us a call on... 012-334-1322, 012-334-1322. Noma Yini that we like to talk about because we all know his area of expertise is more into consumer-related issues. So when I'm saying Noma Yini, I'm not just saying topics that or questions that are not in line with what he does. So yes, he focuses more on helping consumers, more especially with the issues like what else? Car possessions, arrangements, payments, and debt cancelling, you name them. But anyway, he's here. He can be able to tell us more about his line of duty. But you can give us a call right now, or you can drop us an SMS or WhatsApp message there. You can choose to be anonymous, even when you send us messages on the platforms that I told you about. Baba, we are continuing with this issue, Yadi Estates. And I used to see quite a number of ads on the papers about deceased estates auction, and then they would write somewhere the deceased estates and all that. But it didn't make sense to me until you actually explained what the deceased estate is all about. There's so many things that are happening all around us, but we don't have a clue of what they're all about until we meet and talk to people like you. But thank you once again for enlightening us. It looks like where you are, it's a bit windy, Bob. If you can maybe turn around.
Okay.
Yeah, now can't hear that wind blowing on your headpiece, headset anymore. And that day, as we always do, do you have a testimony for us?
Yes, sir. We've got a case, or we had a case here, of a client who used to be the manager at one of the paratakers. Driving a lovely car, a German SUV, of which she couldn't afford because she left the employment and then started her own business. Thirdly, after she started the business, then there was COVID. You can just imagine. So she hasn't made sufficient funds to cover all her expenses. As a result, she spent in arrears with the vehicle, and the projects are not coming forth as she would have liked. Therefore, the credit provider consent took legal action against her, meaning they issued summons, and then she has got an attorney assisting her. So the attorney filed a notice of intention to defend the case in court, the Victoria High Court matter. So now the case is going to court on Tuesday.
I wonder why they're still taking them to High Court. I think there was a ruling that they shouldn't take them to High Court anymore, but to a magistrate court.
No, this is a high court matter. It's a lot of money.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, German SUV.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Not a cheap
let
one.
Let me see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so now, that's the question going to come. So, they took the matter to high court. Here's the thing. There are no valid reasons to defend the case.
Okay.
That's point number one. Because when she conducted herself research by her friend, and she had already filed the notice of intention to defend the attorney. But as I'm saying, there are no valid reasons to defend the case.
What do you mean?
If you defend the case, let's have an example. The grade 4 virus is not making mistake, not in the application for legal action. You don't have a reason to defend.
Okay.
Especially when you don't have money to pay what they want.
All right.
Because when you dispute or when you defend the action, you should say, I'm defending because I don't agree with the interest or I don't agree with the balance. Or you don't agree with something. But in this case, if there's nothing that you disagree with, it's just because you are broke, you don't have money. That cannot be an excuse. Unless if you say, I have something to pay, of which they declined.
Okay.
I'm here in court to state my case to say, not that I run away from my obligations, just that life happened. You know, and I found myself in this situation. I've got the predicament now. I cannot afford to pay the arrears. However, going forward, I can afford to pay a reasonable amount of so much. Then at least you are saying something.
So they got a bad legal advice?
Not the best one. I must.
Okay, I got it. Yes.
Yeah.
What happened
so now? So now, as you know, you and I know. So now the matter is supposed to go to court on Tuesday. This coming Tuesday. The attorney is pulling out.
Yeah.
Saying, I don't have valid reasons to go to court. Two things should happen. Pay these people their money, give them a lump sum, or give them their car.
But who gave that line the advice to go? Isn't it the attorney?
I'm saying who
gave that line the advice to go to defend it? Is it not this attorney that did that?
Of course.
Okay. Of course. So now he throws her under the bus.
And remember, he charged her the legal fees for that.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
And you and I know that it happens quite often.
Oh, they just want money, that's all.
Sometimes, because, first of all, you can learn from the case. I mean, with experience, you will know that this is undefendable case. You know? And then it happens, I'm saying this because it happens to my younger sister as well at some point, whereby she acted against my advice. Can you believe it? So she didn't want me to assist her. She went to her lawyer, and then her lawyer charged the money. And I attended the court to give her support, and then the judge said, this matter was not supposed to come here in the first place. And the judge told her, you know what, ma'am? The lawyer just ate your money. He just wanted to charge you the appearances here in court.
Yes.
This case was not supposed to come here at all.
What was supposed to be done then that day?
Well, first of all, to defend the case that is undefendable, you're wasting your money because you are paying legal fees. That's number one. So now, number two, rather consult with the experts in the business, in the industry, like you mentioned when you opened, to show your opening remarks. So, fortunately for her, her friend referred her to us. Then he said, okay, since the defense or the legal action is underway already. All that we can help you with, we can assist you with the defense. I think we mentioned something like this. Like we had a case like this last week as well. Because they're popular. These are popular cases. Mm. And this is a fresh one. So we said to her, again, tell your lawyer that you have consulted with this company. They do ABC. Request the court to refer the matter to that. That's the way. That's the only thing that you can do.
Mm.
And this case is going to court on Tuesday.
Yes.
Because the lawyer said, you know what? On Tuesday, I've got nothing to say in court.
Hmm.
Please raise the money, a lot of money, that they need, give to them. Failing which, give them their car. These are two options. Then he said, no, you don't have to surrender the vehicle. You don't have a lot of money if it is not there. But under the treasury, we can restructure the area. You know? So now she's pursuing that route.
Hmm.
She has taken her advice. But here's the issue. She consulted with us last year.
Okay.
And we gave her the same advice.
Mm.
But fortunately, she didn't pursue the case with us. She listened to her lawyer.
She decided to pay lots of money to her lawyer.
Yes. Mm. Now that he's pulling out, then she came back to us. Because I asked her the question, why are you coming only now? And the matter is urgent. Then she said, I thought I was going to raise that lump sum that my lawyer requested. But things didn't add up. But this happens to quite lots of clients or consumers on a daily basis. And for things that, for the cases that you can easily win in court.
Mm.
Because if you are before the competent judge, the judge will say, you know, I don't want to waste time on this case. Let me rather refer to a professional, somebody who can assist you. Okay. Let's postpone the case for 3 months and let's see how it goes. And then after 3 months, if everything goes well under that review, okay, then so be it.
Mm.
The matter is dragged from the road and you are hoping dry.
Okay. Thanks, Baba. At least you are helping there. And I'm also hoping that that issue, the big shortfall of the vehicles that were auctioned to close to nothing there. I mean, you are handling it well also, the last week's testimony. But anyway, we did talk a lot about it. Do you want to say something about it?
Yeah, I see the thing that might be off the shortfall. So this is what's happening.
Mm.
In general, most people do not know that if you surrender your asset to the credit provider or credit providers, if you surrender your assets there, it could be the car, it could be the furniture, whatever the case might be, even the house. If they auction off that asset and there's a shortfall, meaning there's money left behind, because it doesn't happen often that they can sell an item or an asset at the auction for more than what it's worth, or for more than what you owe. Usually, they sell it for less than what you owe, and they will come to you and for the shortfall to say, please know that you are owing us 600,000. However, we sold your asset for 400,000. You still owe us 200,000. Please give us our 200,000. Then you need to apply for Section 6 step, which is the attachment of the movable, your furniture and so forth. Even your car, if it's paid up, they will attach it and sell it. That's Section 6 step. If they feel that, or they think, or they believe that your furniture is not enough, then they will go for the salary. If you are employed, then they're gonna garnish it. They're gonna garnish the employer. Today, Mr. or Mrs. Employer, or Mr. Company, or Mrs. Company, please, every month on payday, deduct so much from this person's salary and pay it over to us.
Then that means, you must be hands-on. They should actually involve you throughout the process of auctioning then that summit.
Yes. Most people outsource their responsibilities.
Hmm.
You hand over everything to somebody and then you stay behind.
Okay. I see. All right. And this one that you're talking about, it's of great interest. And of course, as I don't watch TV that often, but I happened to come across this a program where they talk about houses and this is the estates, so to speak. And it really opened my eyes with regard to what is happening, that the things that the siblings do to one another. I don't know whether it's greed or what. Here you are, there's three of you, and the parent leaves everything for you to divide, perhaps for you to sell the house, and the other person decides to do everything behind his back. He arranges the sales and all that without even involving what's that court again? Master's High Court. Is that Master's, right?
Master of the High Court.
Yeah, Master of the High Court, yes. And then they go ahead with the estate agents. And then the next thing, their siblings know that they are notified that the house is being sold, which is illegal.
No, it's not entirely illegal. I'll tell you why. This is the mistake that people make. So now, there are three children, three siblings. The parent or the parents have passed away. So the clever one tells the other two that, okay, let me go and apply for the letters of authority or letters of... So you waive your rights. You give me mandate to represent you. I'm going to be appointed alone. And then they do that. Then it means that you have given away your rights because three of you should be appointed. There's nothing wrong with that, so that you can have equal say and equal say. But now, if you nominate your clever brother or your clever sister, that person's got all the power to sell their assets in the estate without your knowledge and without your consent. When you wake up, the property is gone. Some people call it the family home. It's gone, sold. There's nothing that you can do because you gave the person the powers he or she didn't have. That's one thing. Second thing, coming to your point of illegal selling of the property, that's when, and it happens quite often as well, when the deceased son or daughter sells the property to the unsuspecting buyer, and this buyer does not listen to the radio pulpit. So this buyer thinks this property is cheap because the person says, you know, my mother has passed away or my father has passed away or my parents have passed away, so I'm going back home or I'm going to stay wherever, therefore I'm selling this property below market value because I'm in a hurry. If you give me cash because I have to run, then the person pays cash and then the person leaves, only to find that this person has sold this property to five other people. Because there's no attorney involved. It happens. Sometimes it could be an estate agent. We have come across those ones, the agents who are crooks, and they conclude the deal with the seller, and then they say the buyer must pay the money into the estate agent's account, not the attorney's trust account. Then the estate agent goes and buys a nice vehicle or a property for himself or herself, and then we are left with nothing.
So the lawyers must be involved
at all times.
All right.
When you deal with the property, ultimately that property must be transferred into your name.
Okay.
You can consult with the property consultants or property agents. Yes, it's fine.
Mm.
About the knowledge on what to do. But they will advise you that, okay, in order for you to conclude this deal, you have to get the lawyer involved because the money that you are going to pay as a purchaser must be paid into the conveyancer's trust account. Why? What if you buy a property generally? And you know the seller very well, and the seller knows very well. I've seen it happen in the families.
Mm.
You know, your cousin sells you the property, or your aunt or your uncle sells you the property. You pay to him because he needs money urgently. There's nothing sinister about that. Unfortunately for you, this person dies before the property gets transferred into your name.
Mm.
And this person has got lots of debts. then if it gets advertised in the newspaper that so-and-so has passed away on such a date, and whoever that has got that claim against the estate must submit a claim within 30 days to so-and-so attorneys.
Mm.
And then all the creditors submit their claims, and then find that the claims are more than what the estate is worth, or more than the assets in the estate. But the property is gone. You're not going to get your money back. Forget it.
Mm.
Or the children of the deceased say, we don't know about this transaction. When did he sell you?
Mm.
You know?
So you lose.
They say, no, mm. You lose. If the minute the children or the wife or the spouse says, I don't know about the deal,
mm.
I forget it.
The other thing that I realize that it's prevalent out there is the issue of illegal occupation. Sometimes people rent out their houses, and let's say, for instance, the worst thing happens, they die. And when the siblings come to reclaim their houses, the guy says, no, we are not moving out, and we are also not going to pay anything. I've seen such cases in some of the townships, and sometimes even to the people that are still alive. That's a matter. I know that maybe it's not it doesn't form part of the estates and existing estates,
yeah.
but I think that also needs to be discussed before I forget it. I forget all about it, because the people that are going through that, they don't know exactly what to do. They go to the guy and say, please vacate our place, and the person says, no, I'm not going anywhere. And the worst part is, they'll try to change ownership into their own names, which is fraud. And what must people do under such circumstances?
You know, the thing is that if this particular case that you are talking about of the evictions, there's no solution to that in this country. Because you have got a lawless society. The adults, full-fledged adults, are lawless. They don't follow the law. Even if there's an eviction order, there's a court judgment that says you must move out of that property. It is not yours. It does not belong to you. People refuse. They say to hell with the law. No. All adults say to hell with the law. I'm not going to follow the law. I'm not going to listen to the judge. I'm not going to listen to anybody. Then they go and gather the neighbors and friends to say, hey, these people want to evict me. I'm not going anywhere. You must give me support when the sheriff comes here. The places like Protea, there were notorious of that, parts of Mamelodi, many areas, at some point, and the banks named those areas gray areas or hotspot areas whereby they are. It's difficult to evict people because now they gang against the police and the sheriff, because sometimes the sheriff will go there. Because I remember I don't know how to differentiate between Protea and Protea clan, but let's say Protea. The sheriff went there. They picked the sheriff and the police with the rocks and stones. So they had to leave because their safety comes first. You know, because there's a judgment from the High Court that says this person or these people that are occupying this property illegally must vacate the premises. And then the sheriff, being the messenger of the court, is being handed the eviction order, which is a court judgment, to go there and evict the people. And the sheriff knows that the area is volatile, so what he does, he calls the police for backup. And the police accompany the sheriff to go to the premises to go and evict those illegal occupants, because most probably the owner of the house is paying the bond, who bought the property, legally, is paying the bond and is renting elsewhere, because here are the people occupying his or her property illegally, not paying anything, not paying the municipality, the rents and taxes, not paying anything. So, but this owner must pay, this innocent owner must pay, which the buyer must pay the bond. So when the sheriff comes to evict these people, now, the illegal occupants, the whole community, the whole street, yanks against the police and the sheriff. What does that tell you that it might be about Christianity? Because you tell me that in this street there's nobody who's a Christian to say, guys, what we are doing is wrong. Somebody bought this property legally. This person is paying for this property at the bank. But somebody staying here Yes, this person is our neighbor, but he's occupying someone's property illegally. He's not paying a cent. He didn't buy it. He was renting at some point, so the owner of the property passed away. The property was sold to the innocent buyer. Instead of buying it, he says, I'm going to stay here by force.
And remember, titles and like Christianity and the Bible are used mainly when it suits people. So,
exactly.
Yeah, they quote the Bible and all that. But you'll be surprised that some of the things that are being done, they're done by the people who call themselves Christians and who claim to know the Bible. But in most cases, they only use it when it suits them. Yes, that's all I can say with regard to that matter. Yes.
Yeah, so now you can just understand the pain. I mean, I remember one gentleman, it has been for years, even the one lady who conducted as a development, who has been paying the bond because their owner does not move out. The sheriff went there with the police and they were pickled with stones and they had to run away from the residence. Because now, obviously, this might end up in tears because somebody can be hurt badly or somebody can even die.
And what about the dads? I know that in most cases, those people don't pay water and electricity and all that. So the debt goes to the owner's names in most cases.
Yes.
What is that the owner can do to make sure that they are actually released from that, and that becomes the illegal occupant's responsibility?
Remember, the court has already ruled that those people that are occupying the property there are occupied illegally. That's why the court has issued the court order, which is the judgment. The eviction order for the sheriff to evict the people. But now, simply the people refuse to move out. There's nothing that the court can do because the court has already finalized the matter. They said people must go. But now these people are being violent.
So the court has the impression that people are gone now. So you are now the occupant.
Even if the court can be told that, hey, these people refuse, so they will say that is the issue of the police, because now these people have become criminals.
Okay. Remember
in Denbisa, they ended up burning the house down. They closed the house.
Daddy, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it here because of time. But for those who'd like to talk to you, how can they get hold of you?
Yes, Daddy, you can contact us on
010-109-4982.
Yes, or 067.
Mm-hmm.
226.
Yabo.
5934.
Okay.
067-226-5934.
All right.
And in future, Ndatimwabi, I think we should talk about couples.
Couples.
In death.
Okay. Let's,
either acquaintances or in marriage.
Yeah.
There are a lot of issues going down there.
I think it's urgent. Let's do it next week.
Okay, then.
Yeah, it's very urgent. That's the urgent one there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and that le bogile le ka moswaker.
Thank you, Dr.
That Elias Shamatla ki 010-109-4982, 010-109-4982, and alternatively 067-226-5934. 067-226-5934. That's Ndate Shamatla's contact details there. It's just gone 2 minutes after 7. This is the second hour of the program Thursday evening. And of course, Thursday Live, I beg your pardon, Thursday Live. And we'll be together until 10 o'clock. A few minutes from now, we'll be joined by somebody from that global business round table. That's about 10 past 7 right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Pastor Webster. We'll be having Pastor Webster this evening. All I'm asking you to do is to please stay right where you are. Here is a beautiful one.
If you need prayer, please send your request to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. or WhatsApp 067-429-7564. Or go to Radio Pulpit website on www.radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you want to grow your business sales? Do you know that you can advertise on Radio Pulpit, Radio Pulpit website, The Word for Today magazine, and The Word for You Today magazine at the ridiculously low prices? Yes, you can indeed. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, offers you the platform to grow your businesses at the best affordable prices. Simply contact me, Godfrey Mwabi, on godfrey@radiopulpit.co.za or call me on 012-334-1265 and I'll tell you how. Remember, I've made it my business to grow your business.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.